Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. And again, with me is Jamie Lemon, back on for the show tonight. We're going to be talking about the mindset of your worth equivocates to your well-being. So welcome, Jamie.
Hello, Michaela.
Yes, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty awesome.
Well, good on you. That's actually, you know what? I'm going to have to say, that's nice, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I don't like, though, is when you ask them, well, I don't know. Actually, I'll take it back. Okay, I'm going to say this question. This is so random, but you know how you ask somebody, how are you? And a lot of times, it's just a generic question that most people really don't care, per se. It's just a nicety. Because if somebody really did actually say how they really were and say it wasn't the usual answer of good and okay, and they were like, man, I'm really having a shitty day. You know what? My dog died. My toenails are, like, purple, and they should have been pink. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right?
I do, and no one wants to hear it.
Exactly. So why ask
anyone
that stupid question? Okay.
Because it's so rote. Right? It's rote.
Right.
It's like, right. Hey, how are you? It's like shaking hands. It's like, I don't want to shake your hand. I mean, really, there's some days when I do and some days when I don't.
You know what? That's funny that you say that, because I heard somebody else say that recently about where they used to shake everybody's hands, but like they've actually second thought of it now because you don't know what people do anymore. And I don't exactly shake hands, but I'm a hugger. So I hug everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's safer
mm-hmm.
than handshaking even. But I'm just like, yeah, you really don't know what people do when they're not alone. It's terrible.
Hey,
yeah,
hi.
But I'm trying to get back on track. Right? Hi. We're going to try to get back on subject since we're just starting.
Okay.
Again, the mindset of your worth equivocates to your well-being. So let me just start asking you, Jamie, like the first question that I had on here for us. Why is it so important to love ourselves wholeheartedly and not rely on praise and validation from others to determine our self-worth?
Well, because I believe, and this is strictly through my own personal journey, when I wait for validation from someone else or acknowledgement or whatever, then I risk not receiving it to the magnitude that I wish, right? And so if I affirm to myself, I love you, I'm smart, I'm brilliant, I'm caring, I'm kind, I'm loving, I don't have to worry about getting that from someone else. It's feeding my own soul. I maintain my own energy. I maintain my own worth. And I give nothing away. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense, but still there's this conundrum with me that I'm thinking that is also bothersome to others, is the fact that, okay, yes, we should get it from ourselves, but the thing is, most of us, we are always seeking outside of ourselves to get it. Like, I mean, how do we get away from that? And then the other part is, you know, it's not like we're solitude, you know what I mean? Like, humans are meant to be connected to each other, so I almost feel like it's interwoven, you know? But how do we kind of bring that back to ourselves?
That's a very good question. We are, in my opinion, we are designed to be a social animal, per se. We're social beings. We thrive in community. We die in isolation, right? Wouldn't
right.
it be nice to be able to wake up one morning and be filled with happiness and joy, and you walk into a room and you see your brother Joe sitting over there, and Joe doesn't jump right up and say, hey, Jamie, you're here. I'm so glad. I love you. Right? And he just sits over there and he's
mm-hmm.
all caught up in his own story, and he's having a bad day. Well, why should I wait for him to validate me and acknowledge me when it should be about him at that time? And so it's kind of like in my own personal relationship. I want the individual to come to me when it's genuine, and I want them to acknowledge me when it's genuine instead of having it be required of them. And so I believe that when I say it to myself, there's no requirement from them. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So if I was waiting for my mom to say, "Oh my heavens, you look fantastic in what you're wearing," that day would never come because I'm overweight. And she has a big problem with that, right? But if I can stand there and look in the mirror and tell myself that I look fantastic, don't you think that that is, more rewarding? Instead of waiting to hear it from your mom, you can say it to yourself.
Right. Okay, well, for instance, okay, so take that example. And I've seen you, Jamie, and what you call overweight is one thing. Most Americans are truly overweight, and I don't know, you might be, what you'd call overweight, fine, but I can't imagine it being anything grotesque. So, but what I was going to say is, like, okay, what if, I'm just saying, okay, but the truth
saying. The truth is, wait, time out. The truth is that the last time my mom came and visited me, the first words out of her mouth were, "Are you going to lose weight anytime soon?" Right? Now, that could have stung.
Right.
That could have stung if I wasn't so full of I love yous to myself. And instead, I just looked at my mom. I said, "I'm so glad you came here. I love you." I didn't even have to buy what she was selling. I didn't even have to acknowledge the hurtful words. I didn't even have to have our conversation get started off on the wrong foot. I loved her so much, she was able to speak her truth. And I was filled up with so much self-love that it didn't even faze me when she spoke her truth. So I was able to maintain my power. I was able to maintain my light. And she stayed for a whole hour. Now, that might not sound like a lot of time, but that is more than I have spent with her all year.
Wow. It almost like zeroed out the negativity by you handling it in the way you did. Yeah.
It nullified it. It gave it no more energy. So when you change the rules,
being
the
battler that I am, would have irritated me, though. That would definitely not have been my first option.
It would have irritated the majority of people, right?
Right.
It would have irritated the majority of people, and they would have gotten right in their face, or they would have said, "Forget it, go on," or whatever. But see, I've already been down that road. I've already been down that road of not getting what I want from people. So I've decided to change the rule of the game, and I decided to fill myself up first.
That's key, too, right there, is I don't know how many times it takes for – I mean, obviously, the numbers are different for people to get it, but I think that is becoming the conclusion. I don't like to admit it, but I think that's the conclusion, is it comes back to because you can't change others, you know, working on yourself.
No, right. It starts at home. Take care of what's in your own backyard before you worry about everybody else.
Right. And look at it.
And
the title that we've got. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and what if all of this external stuff is a mirror image of what's going on inside each person? How many people do you know can look at themselves in the mirror and say, "I love you," to themselves? Not a lot. A lot of people are at war with their feelings inside of them because people don't act the way they should. People don't buy into their belief systems. There's just a lot of conflict. And look how many wars there are out there in the world. Right? And if we all started to love ourselves, we would change our internal world, and then that in effect will ripple out to the external world. And that's my belief, and that's what I wake up to every day. That's what I strive to be, is true to myself first. I want to be the change I wish to see in the world.
I agree. I've been playing around with that approach, and I don't know. I think I'm kind of circling back to that possibility.
Well,
I've
been working
right
on this a solid 10 years, you know. I mean, it's not something that came easy to me. And I am just slowly getting reintegrated with my family because I needed to separate. I couldn't stay in the same family dynamic and expect me to look at them differently. I needed to leave for a little bit. Get my feet firmly on the ground, and now I can go back and be a part of their lives because I can sit and be of service by listening. I don't have to buy what they're selling, and I don't have to have them validate me in any way. So now
right,
it's making our relationships that much stronger.
So important and beautiful. And that's another topic that we can end up talking about too. But I was going to say, again, in the title, we talk about how, again, mindset of how we feel we're worth, it equivocates on how we're feeling. And that I do truly believe it does directly affect our health and well-being. What do you have to say on that?
I believe I'm going to say that the majority of the ailments that people suffer from is merely a disconnect between what the heart wants and what the head wants. And when I approach life from that viewpoint is when I am more empowered to stand in my own truth. And I'm going to give you an example. About a year and a half ago, my brother-in-law was over at my house all the time, and I was really at odds with him, but it's a brother-in-law, what do you do? And one day I woke up and I was so stuffed up in my nose, and it was springtime, that I knew I wasn't sick, but I couldn't massage anybody because I had sniffles and nobody.
Hello?
Hey, Jamie, you there?
Yes. Gotta love technology.
Okay.
Apparently, I lost a cell signal.
Exactly. Well, you were saying you were having the sniffles and you couldn't do massage.
So I was out in the garage and I was sweeping it out. My mom stopped by. She says, hey, what are you doing? I said, hey, I've got something going on with my sinuses. And she says, it sounds like sinusitis. And I said, oh, my God. So I went in and I looked at the emotions associated with sinusitis, and it was having a strong reaction to someone especially close to you. And it was all about my brother-in-law. And as soon as I made the connection that it was him, I was cleared up the very next day.
You know what?
Kind of freaky, I've seen.
Yes. Well, okay, this is TMI, but we are always kind of TMI. But, you know, I was going to. Right, and I don't think this is too much TMI that it's going to be too bad for people, but this is straight up, this is for real. So I was going to, I just put this all together, but anyways, I have not been feeling well for the last couple days. I mean, to the point where I really couldn't use the bathroom, and I was like, what is wrong with me, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, what is the problem? And I thought, oh, what is this? And I said, okay, I'm stuck, right? And if you think about it, like exactly what I was feeling stuck in my situation. You know what I mean? And then like, man, I'm feeling shitty. And then think about it, like it just correlated is all I have to say. That's not funny, and it is funny at the same time. But you know,
well,
I think
we
again,
do a happy
we're going
dance,
and
we figured out the disconnect.
Right.
Right.
So,
what if life is this simple? Right. What if life is this simple? What if we just listen or see how our body is responding to things and we take a strong, solid moral inventory of ourselves? We might learn, get more ahas about how we relate to life just by being open and honest with ourselves. What's interesting to me is colds and flus happen mostly through the holidays. Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's when all the families have to come together. People don't want to because there's always going to be a fight or there's always going to be some sort of ruckus going on. And so they get sick. And when they're sick, then they don't have to go. Well, I don't want to have to be sick. I want to clean my house and take an honest inventory of myself and go when I'm happy. And if I'm not happy and I don't want to go, I say no thank you.
Right. But again,
no thank you.
Right. Well, that gets into the part of, like, the artist saying no. I'm jumping around, but that is huge. A lot of us don't know how to say no or when to use it.
Right. Right, because we want people to validate us. We want them to like us, and so we will compromise ourselves so that we can give to them to make sure that they're happy, and then we're the ones that's not.
I know, right? And then we can sit there and resent and complain and bitch about
right.
it
and
basically
then, and then,
later.
And then we're like, oh, wait, well, I did all this for you. How come you're not here for me? Oh, well, I got other things to do. Well, wait a minute. Because I gave to you, now you're supposed to give back. So we always give with an expectation.
Yeah.
What if we stop
really
giving with
too.
An expectation?
It's lovely. It really is when you can do like that. But majority of people, I think there is always something kind of associated to an extent. Like, I did this for you. Yeah, and you got to do that for me now.
Right, right. Well, what happens if we start to be the change we wish to see in the world and we start saying, no, thank you? I mean,
that's a good question.
What a concept, huh?
Yes.
Right. I just had a
Hey,
great. Jamie, can you come over and be available to help me move? Oh, well, what day is it? Oh, well, let me check my calendar.
You there? Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness.
I
don't understand. Yeah,
I don't
understand. I could hear you just fine, but then you disappeared on me. I could
hear
you saying hello.
Maybe it's over here. Oh, okay. So you heard me. I didn't hear a word from you. Maybe it's Florida phenomena. I don't know. But okay, we're still on. Still trying to do the show.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you for everybody that is still listening. Exactly. That's how life is. Okay. So you were saying?
That I just, if I don't want to do something anymore, I just say no thank you. We all know at the time that somebody asks us what our gut feeling is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we deny what our gut feeling is of, no, I really don't want to watch your kids today. But okay, I want you to like me, so I'll go ahead and watch your kids. Right? No.
Yes.
No, my first job is to put self first. My first job is to pay attention to what my needs are so that I can have the most energy in me, the most gas in my tank to do what I need to do. If I'm always taking care of everybody else, washing their windows or cleaning the moss off the roof or babysitting their kids or helping them move, I mean, pick a task, any task. Then I'm always tired and I'm unhappy because then who's there for me?
Right. I swear,
right?
That took me a long time to learn how to say no. I mean, I know some people it takes a whole life, but I swear, I'd only started to say no probably a couple years ago. And I remember the first time doing it, it was even hard. But, you know, with practice, it does get easier. And it actually feels good to actually, like, it's almost like this chain being released off of you. Like, you know, I don't even know how to explain that any better than.
Well, I think you're
like
doing
a
great job explaining
air.
It because, yeah, that is what it's all about. I mean, it's like the more you practice it, and no thank you, it's you're doing it as polite as possible, right?
Right.
Do it with love. Honor yourself first. And I was always raised.
And that's another thing.
Stop being selfish. Go ahead. Stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. And it's like, at what point is it selfish and at what point is it self first? At what point take care of themselves first? They want to jump up and lay on their spot in the couch. They'll jump up there whether you got a cat there or a kid there. They want that spot. Right? Now, I'm not saying be rude, but I'm saying take care of what you need to take care of. It's kind of like Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory. Hey, that's my spot. You know, he's not polite about it. He just says, hey, I want my spot.
So I'm going to have to revisit that show. Well,
I love that
see,
show.
That's the thing, too. There is a difference between selfish and self-first. And I don't think that a lot of us make that distinction, you know, or take the time to see that.
Right.
Or maybe
because
it's
been so programmed in us. Yeah, oh, it's so programmed in us. It's like, hey, you're her sister. You need to be there for her whenever you're supposed to, whenever she asks. And it's like, no. I got my own life to live, you know. If we can work together towards a mutual goal, that's one thing. But coming from a big bout of depression and medications and attempt suicide and whatever, I learned the hard way to take care of myself first. I was very unhappy because I was always giving to others without them giving back to me with my expectation of how they should give back. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Maybe I should say, you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I can hear it. And let's say we somehow decide to cut off. I don't know. I sigh because, I mean, it's just such a journey, you know, all these different wisdoms that we have to learn. And it's like you're it's like you're excavating, like, I don't know, like a dinosaur ruin or something. And it's like it takes forever just to see a part of the bone, I swear. And it's annoying and funny at the same time. Like, and I know there's a purpose, but it's still like, I just think it's a pain sometimes because, you know, you never know when on the journey are you going to figure this out, if you're going to figure it out, you know?
Well, the more persistent you are, you figured out a lot more before I did.
Thank you.
Right?
I had your help.
I mean, you have, right? But I mean,
right.
Instead of bitching about how long it takes to get there, why not enjoy the ride? Right? I know women that have gone to their deathbed being very unhappy, but man, they were the dutiful wife. They fulfilled that responsibility.
Right.
Right. I want to be the dutiful, happy wife.
Right.
I'll take care of you to the best of my ability. Right. But I want to have fun on the way.
Right.
And so what if this is just a new time to live in? You know, what if this is just a new time to live in that says, hey, all right, we've already been through hell. Now let's lighten things up a little bit and have some fun.
I like that perspective, considering like what's painted out there, like in the supposed news of what's going on. And that also contributes to our well-being, like, you know, what we hear and see is adding to our stress factors, or like this, like how you're saying enjoy the ride, calm and relaxed that we can bring, and bringing joy back into our lives despite whatever may or may not be happening out there, you know?
Right. Sometimes what's happening out there is way too big and there's nothing I can do to influence one way or the other than loving myself. What happens if the more we love ourselves, the more we put that frequency out there, the more it's going to be picked up at an unconscious level, the more we're going to elevate everything anyway. We have this illusion that we have to... Huh?
No, I was going to say that is the resounding kind of answer I have been hearing one way or the other lately. It might not be in the same wording, but that is the thread. That is the common thread I've been hearing a lot lately.
Right, why not just relax about life, right? Relax about life. Let your DNA strand unwind so that everything else can as well. Right? What good is it going to do for me to roll around in bed at night thinking about the political situation? The only thing that's going to happen is I'm going to lose sleep. And the more I focus on what I don't want, the more it's going to appear in my world of reality. So I go to bed saying, wow, what an effed up political scene we have out there. Wow, I love you. I know it sounds weird, but it brings a lot of peace to me. Just last weekend, I was sitting here thinking like I was a second-class citizen and that all I am is just somebody here to serve others, and, you know, no one really cares about Jamie's wants. And it's like, no, I went to sleep and I said, even though I feel like a second-class citizen, I deeply and completely love myself. Now it's okay for me to have those feelings pop up. It's okay for me to be aware of them. I'm just going to love my way through them. That's free, and I can do it anytime I want. Do I have the due diligence? Do I care about myself enough that I'm going to make this a part of my nightly routine? Yes. And I am so much more happy, and I have so much more peace in my heart. I believe that as long as I am on this planet, upright, vertical, and taking nourishment, the more opportunity I have to love myself through whatever arises. And it feels much better than fighting it.
I agree. That is beautiful. And I love that I hope our listeners can take away from that. Jamie, we've got a little over 4 minutes left. Is there anything else that you want to add to tonight?
I don't know. I invite the listeners to look at themselves in the eyes, in the mirror, and say, I love you. And see if you can do that 10 times out loud. I mean, I told you the other day, I was... outside washing my car, and I was sitting out there and I was seeing how many different ways I can say I love you. You know, I was out there, I was saying, I love you.
I love you.
You know? And I was saying them out loud, and then next thing you know, I started cracking myself up and looking over my shoulder to see if any neighbors were standing in earshot. Right?
Right.
I love you. You could be like Mission Macaroni. I love a lover you. Right? I mean, come
on. Oh, my gosh.
Look at what happens. You
right.
sit there and bust up laughing like a little five-year-old kid, and that's who I want to be. That's who I want to present to the world.
Right? I'm so proud of you, Jamie.
I know, right?
I am. I really am. Like, I'm. My heart is giggling so much right now for you and just for everybody. I hope that what Jamie just did, besides everything else that we share when we're on together, does help inspire in some way to bring that a lot out of you, including that childlike self of yours, that piece that is so innocent and so good, you know?
Right,
it's in there somewhere.
To play and explore life, right?
Right.
If we were to treat ourselves and others like they were five-year-old children, there would be so much compassion in this world that would literally explode from light. Right? But once a child gets to six or seven, then we start scolding them, telling them they should know better. Now when a person is 25 and they do something bonehead, then we really scold them more because they really should know how to do it different, right? When
right.
I treat everybody like a five-year-old child, it brings compassion to my heart, it brings compassion to them, and then everybody can grow together. You know, I might be 52 years old, you know, I might be this age, but at heart, I'm five. There's a lot of things I should know how to do, and there's times when I get caught by the short hairs, and I'm like, uh-oh, that was a bonehead move. You know?
Right.
And it's like, well, what would I say to a five-year-old child? Well, you tried, hon. Now pick yourself up and try some more. I love you.
Aww. Those are the best. That is the truth, and that is also how I've always dealt with my children. You know, when it comes down to it, I might get irritated with them for a minute, but when it comes down to it,
of course,
you totally
right?
forgive them and everything. Right. Jamie, we're going to have to save our next message for the next time we come on, but thanks for joining me tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and everyone, I hope that you enjoyed our time today. I'm sorry for the technology difficulties at times, but I hope that you did get the message. And we really hope
love
that you enjoy the rest
more.
Of your week. Yes, love yourself
right,
more.
You,
we
lady.
Love you. Take care. All right, take care. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.